Kirk put on my computer a lot of stuff. Most of it I won't tell you about because it really hurts here. So he put on Ravi Zacharias, and he put on Bill Johnson from Bethel out in Redding, California. Amazing move of God, amazing people of God. We were with Bill Johnson in Toronto a couple years ago. I just come back from Mexico from preaching in Acapulco and bled out half my blood. Then flew out there after getting out of the hospital, and he had a word for somebody with the very problem I had, and I was healed in that service. Bill wrote a book a long time ago that we read after coming back from Toronto. The title of it was something like When Heaven Invades Earth. And I brought that book. Do you remember that title, Kirk? Did you ever read the book? Oh, okay. So I'm probably talking to people that don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, as I was watching one of their worship services, and the church at Bethel is making a transition, and Bill's son is taking over the senior pastor, and Bill is going to travel 125 days a year. He's been traveling 185 days a year besides pastoring. And as I was just listening to that, not really thinking, you know, you just get things turned on and you start listening, and all of a sudden there came a word into my heart. It's, what about getting the culture and the atmosphere of heaven at COC? And then what about getting the culture and the atmosphere in heaven in South Dakota? And how about going from South Dakota to 49 other states? And how about going from the 49 other states to the world? And I know some of the things that I'm going to share with you, you're going to just maybe choke on this morning, or you're going to say, is he really nuts? How many hospitals are in heaven? How many funeral homes are in heaven? No, I sat with Dr. Judy for about 45 minutes this week and had a checkup. And we were just talking about the fact that doctors can diagnose, but only God can heal. And it's pretty amazing when we consider the Lord's Prayer. And I want you to think about that today. Somebody quote for me the first four lines of the Lord's Prayer. How does it start out? Everybody together, loud.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed
be thy
name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Okay, time out. Stop there. What did you just say? Thy what come?
Thy kingdom come.
And thy what come?
Where?
On
earth.
And where is it already happening? I want you to think about that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I'm not going to tell you these things that God is just to show you that I know some big words. But to describe God, we go that number one, he's omnipotent. Not in any special order. What does that mean? He's all powerful. The word would tell us that he's omniscient. He's all knowing. The Bible would tell us that he's eternally existent. He never had a beginning and he has no ending. We okay? The Bible would tell us that he's omnipresent. What does that mean? He's everywhere. This word kind of is very interesting. The Bible would tell us that he's immutable. What does that mean? I'm not speaking in tongues. It means that he never changes. He doesn't change. The Bible would tell us that he's self-sufficient. What does God need? Nothing. He doesn't need us. He wants us, and he desires for us to praise him, but he's totally self-sufficient. As I wrote on my paper, because I was thinking of RVs and campers that are self-contained. You know, you can pull them in, you can plug them in, and you got everything you need for the rest of the week. Well, God is self-contained, although he absolutely spreads out his glory, his presence, his power, his touch, his anointing, his love. And so as I was looking at this, I begin to think, what are the manifestations of the kingdom of God? When we think of God coming to earth, when we think of Jesus coming to earth, we start thinking of what are his manifestations. Look at me for a moment. There have been invasions of God on earth. Many. What do you think happened in Bethlehem one night? God invaded earth. The New Hebrides revival, God invaded a region where people at night would feel the convicting power of God. They didn't know what to do, so the only place where they would go was to the police station. And what did the police do? They called the evangelist. People would be coming into town during the day, and they'd go to the police station. They didn't know what was happening to them. You'd walk the roads and people would be on their face before God, crying out to God. There was a move of God. Now, as we look at this, what are we looking for? I understand that I could stand up here and say, to get where we're going, you got to do this, 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 and this. And all of a sudden, as I'm saying that, I suddenly realize it's not about us, it's about him. And as he begins to show up, we begin to change, and we want more, and we desire more, and we do the things that we know God expects from us and desires from us. The sad part is when we know what it takes to get God in the region and we refuse to do it. What manifestations are we looking for? Or what manifestations represent the kingdom of God? His presence, his glory. Let's start there. You know, when a king walks in a room, most of the time he has everybody's attention. Everybody's attention. And as Christ is manifested and the glory of God is manifested in this place to the degree where he wants to show up, I'm going to tell you something. He's going to have your attention. Because his presence attracts our attention. His presence attracts us to him. And so as this kingdom comes to earth, and is happening in the world today beyond anything that we've ever seen and probably beyond things that we haven't even thought about, that present draws people to him. In that presence that draws people to him is amazing love. Amazing love. There's one thing when God shows up, we cannot deny the fact of his love. He absolutely engulfs people with his love. And really, friends, you have to fight hard to get away from it. You have to willingly battle that love and say, God, I really don't want this. I'm not looking for this. I'm not worthy. I heard a preacher say a while back that the presence of God came in. He thought he was going to die. He said, God, leave me alone. Well, isn't that a way to go? In the presence of God, in heaven, there's absolutely total forgiveness. How many have ever sinned? How many of you ever, even after you ask God to forgive you, remember it and carry it? That's not like heaven. Because when the king forgives and the king forgets, you can let it go. It's great to hear testimonies of what people were. It's even better to hear what they are now. In that kingdom of God, in that presence of God, absolute forgiveness, no matter what. And in that presence of God, there's an absence of something. There's an absence of evil. Nothing evil there. In that presence of God, and we're going to dig into this a little bit later, there's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no hatred, there's no bitterness, there's no death. It's all about life. Now, somebody should get excited. We're planning a baptismal service, but it's not going to be with dill pickle juice. In that presence, that atmosphere of that heavenly city is going to be thanksgiving, praise, and worship. How many of you did that this morning? Or how many of us took time out this morning and said, well, there's nobody here, it doesn't matter, I'm just going to kind of stand around. That's the atmosphere. How many is okay with heaven? But what about if we took the time and just decided, I'm going to come to you, Father, and I'm going to wait in your presence until my life is radically changed and eradicated from everything that you don't like. How about when we come in that place and we say, prayer meeting, worship time, I can't wait. Because that's where it's at. That's where we want to be. That's where we want to go. And sometimes we have to go there kicking and screaming because our flesh doesn't want it. Do you know the busiest time your mind gets? It's when you decide to spend time with God. How many can think of the 150 things you should be doing? And I've blown it at times. Because just as that presence begins to just fill this place as we're praying and worshiping in the mornings, I'll think of something I have to do, or the phone will ring, or something will happen. And even this morning, I just had to say, God, I repent. I'm sorry. God was just starting to teach and teach and teach, and all of a sudden, here comes a thought. Well, you got to do this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So we back away. And as we back away, we miss what God has for us. I want for you to do a little bit like Kirk said. I want you to envision walking hand in hand with Jesus as he walked on the earth. I want you to envision seeing the miracles. I want you to envision Jesus walking up to the funeral procession and touching the casket or the widow's son. I want you to envision Jesus dealing with the maniac of Gadara. I want you to envision a life with Jesus where you just walked with him and watched what he did. Okay, you got that done. Don't go to sleep. And I want to talk to you about what I want to picture here. I want to talk to you about what I believe, and I don't believe this thought just came from pizza or whatever it might be. I believe there's about eight or nine things that I want to see God do right here that we go out beyond these walls. There are more people in this community that don't know and don't have a relationship with Jesus than do. When God's presence, or as God's presence, as heaven comes to Sisseton, as heaven comes to COC, we're going to see massive salvation, deliverance, and people free. Can anybody get excited? Can anybody say amen? Amen. I know we're few this morning, but that's okay. I think you're still breathing. This is not a timeout time this morning. When God comes, almost amazingly, one of the first things he does is start drawing people to him. How many know somebody today that needs Jesus? How many know family members that need Jesus? How many are aware of people in bondage? How many people are aware of people that are going through difficult times? I got a call about 11:30 last night from a lady whose sister was thinking about suicide. And so there's always things going on. There's always things happening. But as God comes in, the answer begins to happen to what people need. Everybody look at me for a moment. You're designed to carry the glory of God. You're designed to walk and live in his spirit. You're equipped spiritually to be supernatural. You have a dwelling place within you for the Spirit of God, and only the Spirit of God is going to satisfy it. You can have all the wealth. You can have all the things you want. You can have all the things, places you want to go. You think you may have your life together, but you're still not complete until God touches you. The Bible tells us we're carriers of the glory of God. We're being transformed from glory to glory to glory. As you walk that out, people around are touched by it. You may repel some. They may walk away from you for a while, but they'll come back. And the presence and glory of God will fill their lives like he's filling yours. Secondly, there's restoration. Not only of people, but of the earth. You say, what are you talking about? We spent a series of Wednesday nights watching the transformation videos. Where carrots were up to 10 pounds in Colombia and Guatemala. Where the land up in Quebec, northern Quebec, in the Inuit Nation was restored. The fish came back. The caribou came back. The geese came back. The people were amazingly, as God showed up one night and the service was recorded with the sound system turned off and the recording still picked it up. And the presence of God saturated. How many people do you know who were once really walking with God are now just cold? How many people do you know, or how about in your life? At one time you were really on fire for God. Now you're even second guessing if you're a Christian or not. One time you walked in the Spirit, and one time you lived in the Spirit. And now all of a sudden your mind is polluted with the things of the world and you're wondering what is going on and where are we going and what is happening and how are we going to do this? A time of restoration. A time of coming back to the Lord. A time of walking it out with God. A time of saying, I need to get back to where I was. You know, backsliding is only fun for a little while. The Bible says there's pleasure in the world for a season. But there has to come a time when we're awakened again. There has to come a time when we come back. There has to come a time when things are restored. And the Bible talks about the fact is this present earth is waiting for a restoration day. Why not now? I understand Jesus is coming back to reign. I'm not talking about the millennial reign of Christ. I'm talking about 2011. Why not now? How many of you are ready to step into healings and miracles and signs and wonders brought about by the presence of God? Let's do something. How many of you have been touched by God in the last few weeks? Stand up if you've been touched by God in the last few weeks. Come on, Leroy, get up. Yeah. In the small church. Yeah. Thanks. I'd like to see this place packed out with three or four services, and every service people are touched. As you go out there, people are touched. You've got the power. We used to sing that chorus. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We come to a place where it happens. We come to a place where the atmosphere of heaven and the culture of heaven permeating this area is absolutely going to radically change it. Do you know something? Look at me. You think I'm nuts? There's no prejudice in heaven. Come on, Martha, say amen. There's no prejudice in heaven. Doesn't matter if you're native or white or black or blue or green or yellow. Doesn't matter. But when hatred occurs, there's prejudice on every side. But when Christ comes in, there's no prejudice. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, you folks. Do I got to call Hick Cahill? You know, the one thing that impressed me as I watched the transformation videos, they closed the jails. Some of these cities, they closed the jails. We go to the jail every week. It's pretty amazing. There are always people there. What about having a city where we don't need a county jail? Where we take the jail and make it COC? What about having a city where we talked about before? You don't need hospitals because there's no sickness. You say, man, Pastor, you're really far out today. It must be that trip you're going on. No. It's reality in the kingdom of God. It's reality in the kingdom of God. You say, well, how do you know that? How many have ever heard of a man by the name of Caleb? Caleb was 85 years old and was as strong and healthy and could see as clear and didn't have selective hearing. He could have it all together at 85. He could have run up and down the football field faster than me. Wouldn't have to worry about those college kids always being the same age and I'm a year older. But you know something? We have been programmed to preach everything falling apart and to listen to it. We have been programmed to think about our broken hearts and our hurts and our pains. We've been programmed to think that the world falling apart and there's no hope. And we live that. We act like it. But you know something? When God comes on the scene, everything changes. Everything changes. Can you buy that? Can you believe it? Can you desire it? You know, you may be sitting there saying, well, I've heard that before. You know, give Pastor time and he'll calm down and Kirk will get back not to strumming all that goofy music. You know something? It's got to get deeper in here. It's got to get deeper. We mentioned earlier massive revivals and awakenings, countries, cities, states, all coming to Christ. Wouldn't it be something in Sisseton to have it unusual, the people that weren't Christians? Wouldn't it be something in Sisseton, in Roberts County, in your town, to have it unusual that people wouldn't be praising God? I'm going to guarantee you something. There is absolutely no one who's around the throne of God who isn't praising God this morning. There's absolutely no one in heaven that is trying to get out. None. There's absolutely no one in heaven this morning who's bored. And who's saying, oh man, this worship service went too long. That's right, Crystal. It's true. Everyone. Everyone is so absolutely enthralled in the presence of God that nothing interrupts it. I believe those of you with children and grandchildren, listen to me. I believe when the presence of God comes in this place like he's going to and that he wants to, that the children will lead us. I believe 4-year-olds, 3-year-olds will be casting out devils and praying for the sick. I believe that children will be touched by the Spirit of God and go out because they're not afraid. They're not like us. We're worried. What's somebody going to think? Do you really care? What's somebody going to say? What are they going to do? The children will go out. The children in Sunday school. The children that are being raised up through worship and praise are going to go out there, sing their songs, lay hands on the sick, bring people to Christ. It's just natural and it's normal to have that happen. The day may come, Mom and Dad, when you'll say, well, can't you just put down your games? I mean, just can't you pick up your games and put down your Bible? They'll be tuned in to God. That's what's happening with your children this morning in that room back there. Stephen is taking them and training them to do the work of Jesus through praise and worship and adoration and loving God. Are we okay? What about having a city that's a demon-free zone? Huh? How about coming to a place where you come into Sisseton, it's a demon-free zone? You know, for years there was an oppression over this city. For years it was hard to come back after you left because you'd come down over the hills from Summit and you'd just say, oh man, I don't feel that anymore. Things are breaking, but they're not the place where we want them yet. Coming into your region and having a demon-free zone where you walk in and there's signs about Jesus and glory to God and all the things are going on are about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you may look at me and say, you think you're going to have a spiritual utopia? Why not? Political parties are talking about taking back our country. How about taking back the world for Jesus? How about coming to a place where we're engulfed in the Spirit and presence of God and we're saturated with His glory, and everywhere you go and wherever you step your foot, that's a piece of ground being taken for Jesus. It's not something we just have to dream about. It's something we can do through our Lord. Anybody here ever have more month than money? If you ever haven't, come and help me, will you? If you got too much and it's just bulging, just we'll take some. But what about prosperity? What about living in an area where there's just always the right amount of moisture and the right amount of sunshine? What about where the crops grow? What about where business flourish? What about in this town where we have everything that we need and we don't go to Watertown or Fargo or something to give them our money? We shop here. You say, what are you talking about? Why not? Wouldn't it be nice to have a few other restaurants besides Taco John's and Pizza Hut and Dairy Queen? I'm sorry, Andy. Huh? You know, we could have On the Border and some of these wonderful Mexican places and because God's blessing. What does it take? It takes a burning desire of God in your heart that you want Him more than you want your next breath. Isn't it kind of amazing that when the King came to earth, nothing was prepared for Him? You start looking in the Old Testament when Solomon built the temple and David brought the ark back before that, that the glory of God had just fell on the people. There will be times if we pursue this, if we come to a place where that's our heart, we really want God. We really want God to show up, that you'll walk in this place and you won't be able to stand. Scott Hagin still sees people walking in and falling prostrate in the presence of God. It's not a dream. It's not just a wishful thinking. It's the presence and power of God changing lives, because that's what God does. Creating in people's hearts a desire and a passion to be like Him. He's equipped his people to be filled and manifest his glory. It comes to us now. What are we going to choose? Is coming to church on Sunday mornings just a necessary evil of being in America and it's Sunday? Is it just something we do because it's Sunday? Or do we come because we really want to meet with God? Do you ever plan to visit somebody and you got to their house and you knocked on the door and they let you in, somebody let you in, and the person you planned on seeing wasn't there? That's what it's like coming to church on Sunday morning and there's no atmosphere of God. There's no presence of God. We plan to meet with him, but we have to come to the place where we really want him to come and be here and saturate this place and change this place and create in us a desire, whether there's 10 people or this place is full next Sunday, that we're coming to meet with God and our expectations will be fulfilled because we've been with him all week and we're bringing him to visit with others. That's when it happens. Losing focus. Do you know how the best way you lose focus is when you start focusing on yourself? I don't have, it's not going to work, there's never enough, it's all about me. That's not a God's situation, that's a me situation. So where are we at? I want God to be in every corner of this church. People may go try to hide in the restroom, but he'll be there too. Yeah. You might walk out the door, but you can't get away because he's got this whole area surrounded. I heard a man say, the enemy is in front of me, the enemy is behind me, the enemy is on my side, my right side and my left side. I got him surrounded. And that's what God does. He's got us surrounded. It just comes to a place where we finally realize he's got us surrounded. What do? I surrender. I'm yours, Lord. It's about you. And he takes over. Bringing the culture and the atmosphere of heaven to Christian Outreach Center and to Sisseton and your community is very possible and it's very feasible. But there is a price to pay. Next week, we're going to do the other half of this message. It's called Thy Will Be Done. Right now, God's asking us, what is your will? What do you want? I had a friend last week that committed suicide. And this week it really hit me. I don't want any more of that in our area. We have people that need healings. We have family doing their own thing and not even concerned about God. What are we doing about it? I believe there'll come a time when we'll have family day in this church and every one of your unsaved relatives will come to Jesus. Why not? They're not having a good time what they're doing. They're miserable. They need Christ. And the worst part, and one of the worst parts about that is not only are they miserable, but they're making you miserable. Stand with me, will you?